Chuck.
Welcome to the Mayo Clinic Ophthalmology Podcast on all things ophthalmology, brought to you by Mayo Clinic. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Tooley.
And I'm Dr. Eric Bothan. We're here to bring you the latest and greatest in ophthalmology, medicine, and more.
In today's episode, we are chatting with Dr. Lily Wagner about eyelid lesions, the lumps and bumps that may stump you in clinic, how to deal with them, and when to seek help from oculoplastics.
Dr. Lily Wagner is assistant professor of ophthalmology and specializes in oculofacial and orbital surgery. She is a co-founder of the Oculofacial Plastics Clinic here at the Mayo Clinic and is also a member of the Thyroid Eye Disease Clinic. Dr. Wagner is involved in multiple clinical trials for thyroid eye disease. She's also a member of the American Academy of Ophthalmology and Women in Ophthalmology. Welcome, Dr. Wagner.
Thank you so much for having me.
We also have the special media connection with Dr. Tooley, who's not here on this campus, but we happily can share this conversation with her.
Yeah, thank you. I'm joining from beautiful sunny San Diego.
In preparation for this one, I have appreciated the opportunity. Both of you have expertise in this area that I don't in terms of oculoplastics. And certainly for me, in my especially my adult strabismus practice, there are times that come up where I see an eyelid lesion. And I'm looking, I'm trying to focus on their eye alignment, and I go, oh, there's a ditzel there. Do I need to talk and document this in the right way? And or I'll finish with an evaluation, and the patient will say, oh, by the way, doctor, what about this thing? So share with me, Dr. Wagner, your kind of take on how do eyelid lesions get presented to you, and what are, you know, what's the varying levels of clinical concern in terms of how they're you get consulted for these?
Yeah. So, you know, certainly eyelid lesions are not the most complex part of our oculoplastic and orbital surgery practice here at Mayo, but I do have to say those first steps when someone who may not be oculoplastic sees an eyelid lesion are so important. Deciding if to biopsy, where to biopsy, if they should refer them, what the timeline is. Because of course, we always worry about missing something sight or life threatening, like with all of our patients. Also, even if it's not anything dangerous, these eyelid lesions can be a huge bother for patients. They may be hating how it looks. It may be irritating their eye. And if you as an ophthalmologist feel like, oh, it's not a big deal, it really causes a disconnect between like patient symptoms and causing issues with patient satisfaction and report. So I always take them seriously and want to make sure we have it all lined up right, and love to talk with non-oculoplastics doc about how to deal with those. If a patient has a lesion, they may tell you, hey, could you check this out? I'm kind of worried. My uncle had melanoma. What do you think this is? And if you tell them, you know, I think this is just a little skin tag or maybe a chronic chalazion that hasn't quite gone away, and we can just watch this for now, that may be all the patient needs. They were just concerned about it. They want to make sure someone had a look and checks out if there's anything to worry about. Or they may just not like how it looks. And even if you tell them, you know, this doesn't look like a skin cancer, I think we can leave it. If you kind of feel some hesitancy, you can ask, like, do you not like how this looks? Does this bother you? Do people stare at you? Would you like this removed? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they really do cause irritation. There can be some trapping of secretions. If it's at the lateral canthus, it can cause some weird redirection of tear flow. And these all seem like minor things, but as we all know, around their eyes, patients can be very bothered by fairly minor symptoms, and that can definitely be a good reason for removal if the patient has some kind of irritation or just weird feeling around their eye from that lesion.
Dr. Wagner, take us through some of the kind of general things that you look for when you're deciding what the best way to treat these, whether it's observation, biopsy, total excision. What are some of the things just clinically that you look for?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, my first part of the decision tree is always, do I have any concern for a malignant neoplasm or not? And to figure out if there is any concern, I ask the patient some questions first. Has this ever been removed and then it came back? Do you think it changed? Has it gotten bigger? Has the shape changed? Has the color changed? Have you noticed things like bleeding or crusting? Those are all red flags. things that you look for on your exam would be ominous signs that can happen with any skin cancer, like lashes falling out, skin breakdown or ulceration, distortion of the margin architecture. We all very familiar with how the lid margin looks at the slit lamp. There's the row of lashes, there's the margin with the meibomian glands, the gray line where the mucocutaneous junction is. And if that's somehow messed up and you can't really tell where those different layers are, or it looks like a little moth ate little holes in the lid margin, those are concerning signs. I have a little mnemonic that I tell my residents so that they go over all of these, and it's gross, like something is yucky gross. So it's growth, recurrence, ominous signs or symptoms, all of these things we just went over. And if you checked all these off and none of them apply, it's probably not concerning for a neoplasm, and you can offer the patient observation, just rechecking the lesion at their next visit. If you have a little bit concern, like the patient thinks maybe it got a little bigger, maybe you see a little abnormal vessel, maybe the lashes are a little thinner there, I would probably have them come back in 3 months and take a photo today and again in 3 months and see if anything changed.
So before, just one of the questions about your history piece. In so many parts of medicine, we look at the eyes, but we had to keep in context the history and or their past medical associations. Share with us, just when you see a lesion on the lid that could be concerning from a malignancy risk, what other history pieces are important for people to document about the patient's background or medical condition?
Yes, that's a great point. So we definitely tend to become very problem focused in our specialty, and then even in our subspecialty in ophthalmology, right? Not wanting to know about their glaucoma and retina issues. I'm just honed in on the eyelid. But for sure, we have to broaden our focus a little bit. If you go down the other route and you are worried that this could be potentially a skin cancer, you want to know, has this patient had other skin cancers before? Have they ever had any bumps taken off by dermatologists? They may not say, I've had a skin cancer, but they may say, oh yeah, they took these different spots off my back and, you know, they burned off these other ones or froze them. And then you know that they probably had some, you know, damaged skin or suspicious lesions at least. You want to know about their UV exposure. A lot of our patients here at Mayo in Minnesota are farmers, and they spend their whole life out in the sun. So you want to ask them, have you had hobbies or an occupation that kept you outside in the sun a lot? You want to document what their skin type is, if they're fair-skinned or dark-skinned, so that you know what the risk is. And you want to know, especially if you're concerned about melanoma, if there's anyone in their family that had skin cancer. Another systemic health thing that is important, especially for squamous cell carcinoma, would be immunosuppression. So if someone is, for example, an organ transplant recipient, or they have an autoimmune disease and they're on chronic immunosuppression, they're very high risk for squamous cell. And patients usually know that. If you ask them, are you on medication that weakens your immune system? They would know that. And, you know, again, here at Mayo, we're spoiled. We see this immediately in the chart. There's a huge red flag on the top, organ transplant recipient. But if you see a patient out in the community as an ophthalmologist, you won't have any of their other medical information. And certainly these things need to be teased out in your history.
Talk us through some of the management options and how you make those surgical decisions, because I think it's tricky to decide, especially when a lesion's involving the lash line or is close to the lid margin. It's hard to decide, you know, what's the best way to either remove this cosmetically or to get a good biopsy that's going to be adequate kind of tissue sample. What's your kind of decision tree there?
Yes, so that's tough. And, you know, I don't think there's a right answer. Basically, I make it easy for myself and I leave it up to the patient. I give them these options. If there's concern for malignancy, you know, you still have that. If it's low concern, that option to observe it for 3 months, take another photo if patients are really against having an intervention done. Second thing is, you could do just an incisional biopsy and take a tiny piece. If patients are really worried about a bigger procedure, but they do want to figure out what's going on, you can say, okay, we can just take a small piece. So that would be an incisional biopsy. And that's something that certainly a lot of non-oculoplastics ophthalmologists would be perfectly capable to do. You know, you want to make sure you have a good sample, and you want to make sure wherever you sent it, the pathology lab you work in is comfortable in interpreting skin lesions. And then it's totally fine to do that yourself and take that tiny piece.
Okay, I'm going to pause you there and just ask. Mm-hmm. So you decide to, I'm just going to get a piece and send this. For someone that doesn't do it as often as others, how much of a sample is it normally at the edge where you get normal tissue and abnormal tissue? What size would you try to capture to make sure you have enough? Is a millimeter on each side or 2 millimeters? Or for an eyelid lesion that's not involving the margin, but it is a location that you want to have it biopsied, how much tissue would you encourage?
Yeah, so you know, usually our pathologists are really great at being able to diagnose those common offenders like basal cell, squamous cell, from a really small sample. Some rarer lesions, like either a very poorly differentiated squamous cell or a lesion that has a lot of background inflammation, they may have trouble to interpret it and ask for a bigger sample. But your common lesions like a basal cell, which really makes up about probably 90% of skin cancers on the eyelid that we see in this country, they would be totally appropriate to just send like a 3 by 3 millimeter piece.
Sure.
If there's an ulceration in the center, meaning there's basically a scab with tissue breakdown, you don't want to send that because that's just necrotic tissue. So you want to send viable tissue where it's bleeding when you cut it out and probably towards the edge where it's close to normal skin to make sure you're not in that area of ulceration. But I would say, you know, 3 by 3 millimeter little fragment with not just the skin surface, not just the epithelium, but a little bit deeper because they need to see if it's invasive beyond the epithelium. That should be enough for a pathologist to tell you this is a basal cell or a squamous cell, or there's abnormal melanocytes in there, or it's just inflammatory. I don't see any abnormal cells in there.
Can I ask one more question? Because I think I might be comfortable doing a biopsy. I'm certainly not going to be comfortable with my own expertise if I think there's a malignancy. I want to hear your approach to some of those pieces, how those are handled. But if we could take one more step back before we get to even a biopsy question, I'd say the ones that I'm more confronted with are a lesion that I know is not malignant, that I'm going to do a strabismus surgery on a patient for an adult, and I think I'd like to remove this at the same time. Share with me your advice over when something could just be shaved, when something could be excised, and or at what criteria would you say, let an oculoplastics person do that? So a benign lesion, tips on, and I'd say for the most part, mine aren't usually a cancer risk. These are, again, non-malignant risks. So a nevus on a lid or at the margin, when should I shave it? When should I resect it? And when should I refer?
Yes, that's a great question. Those come up all the time, and it is super important how the initial ophthalmologist handled it in terms of how easy your further care will be if they need further care. First of all, always take a picture because we want to know what this thing looked like before you cut it off, just in case there's a surprise and additional surgery is needed. You always want to take a picture. You're gonna be pretty safe if you went through this checklist of all of the red flags and nothing checks to assume it's benign, but sometimes it's not. So I would say to be safe, if you're not dealing with eyelid lesions on a daily basis, always send it for pathology. Okay. Personally, I have to admit, if there's something that obviously looks like a skin tag, I see zero concern for any neoplasm, and the patient says, hey, you're doing mitosis today, can you just snip off the skin tag on my cheek? I will snip it off and throw it in the garbage if I have zero concern. And based on patient's history, they're not a high-risk person in terms of UV exposure and systemic medications. That's the only thing I don't send, something that's obviously a skin tag. Everything else I send, whether it's something that you think is a nevus, something that you think is a cyst, or a little verruca, always send it because you never know. It's also helpful just for future occurrences where patients see a dermatologist and they have other lesions, they can go back in the history and see, oh, this was a cyst or this was a verruca, if the patient tells them, I had something taken off my eyelid, they're not going to be left wondering, my gosh, what was that? Was it maybe skin cancer? So always send it. You know, if you see something that you think is a cyst, we usually want to excise those in total with the cyst wall. If you just drain them or shave them, there's a really high chance that they will recur. If you have something that seems like a solid lesion, like residual scar tissue from a chalazion that's causing a little bump of on the margin, or something that you think is a nevus, but it has hairs growing through, the lid margin is preserved otherwise, it's fine to shave it off. And you know what? If it recurs, people can always go and have a bigger procedure with a wedge excision. You send it for pathology, so you're going to know it's not cancerous. And if it recurs and it bugs the patient, they can have a bigger procedure then. I don't usually recommend a wide local excision, basically, with big margins of uninvolved tissue for something that clinically clearly appears benign.
Lily, I think one thing that people struggle with, I see this a lot with comprehensive ophthalmologists and even friends of mine who are asking, you know, what's the best way to take this off? When do you decide whether to do a shave with a 15 blade versus just excising something with maybe Westcott scissors, or should you cauterize something off or freeze something off? How do you decide the technique to excise a lesion?
Yeah. So mostly depends for me if it's on or very close to the lid margin or on the mobile eyelid skin. If it's close to the lid margin or in the lash line, I usually just take a 15 blade and shave it off as flush as I can, or even shave it off leaving a little residual, and then I cauterize the base so that it'll shrink back and now it's going to be a flat line with the lid margin. I really don't want to be aggressive at the lid margin and in the lash line because you can cause contour irregularities, loss of lashes, and patients are going to always notice that tiny spot where the edge just has the slightest dip. And it's very hard to fix that. You can't put tissue back in the margin. If they really hate that little contour irregularity, you're basically going to have to refer them to oculoplastics for a full thickness wedge excision and repair to remove that part. So I'm definitely very conservative. I recommend that people are very cautious. Just shave it off, maybe even leave a little bit, and cauterize that little residual back so it's a nice flat margin. If it's in the mobile eyelid skin where you can kind of pick it up with forceps and move it back and forth, I would say just mark out with a marking pen where you think the edges of the lesions are. And I can excise something small like this on mobile skin easier with a nice sharp Westcott scissor than trying to make this tiny 5 millimeter long incision with a scalpel blade. So I usually just make my small ellipse around it, pick it up with the forceps, snip it off with Westcott scissors, and then you can cauterize the bed. There's usually just uninvolved, healthy looking orbicularis muscle fibers under it. If it's very close to the lid margin, sometimes just let it granulate because trying to pull the skin together can cause like a tiny focal ectropion or can cause the lashes to point a weird way. So if you have a little defect that's less than 3 millimeters diameter, just let it granulate. Just tell patients to put ointment on. It's going to be closed after a week. If it's a little bit further away and there is some skin redundancy and you have a nice ellipse shape cut out, you can just put one or two interrupted 6-0 plane gut sutures in and it should heal without a trace. Just take tiny skin bites, don't incorporate any deep muscle, it'll heal without a trace.
Do you ever put deep stitches in and do you use the same sutures for those?
So I would not expect that any deep stitches are needed for a simple lesion excision in the office. If I have a 2x2 centimeter defect after a Mohs reconstruction where I have to bring in a temporal flap, I would use deep 5-0 or 6-0 Vicryls. But certainly for a lesion excision, you should only have the really epidermis removed with intact orbicularis muscle below. So there shouldn't be anything deep to close. The eyelid skin doesn't really have a thick enough dermis layer that we could do deep dermal sutures like we would do on the cheek or above the brow. So really those skin stitches should be all you need.
Yeah, I completely agree with Dr. Wagner. I'm always impressed on how big of a defect you can really leave unclosed. And just like you said, Lily, you'd be surprised at how a single stitch can actually really change the lid position. You could get a little ectropion, you could get a little weird web, or sometimes I think it's just better to leave things open and let them granulate. We've learned from George Bartley just how much you can let granulate. He will leave giant defects where you think there's no way this could possibly heal without a bunch of stitches or some kind of flap reconstruction. And the eyelids are so forgiving. They're so well vascularized that really you can just kind of cauterize the base, give the patient some ointment, and leave a pretty decent sized defect open to granulate, and they heal beautifully. So I think honestly, it would be easier to fix letting something granulate if it ended up with a little scar or something versus lid malposition from a stitch that was putting undue tension on the lid. So I'm a big fan of letting things granulate, but you're absolutely right. If you need a little stitch, then putting a plain gut suture in is great. And then I usually tell people almost never to put in a deep stitch.
When we refer to you guys then, when do you handle it independent of other services? When do the Mohs type reconstruction word get into the picture and care? So for the conditions that are more malignant concerning, how does management change?
Yes, I think every institution is probably a little bit different. Here at Mayo, we work very close with dermatology. I love our Mohs colleagues, they're amazing. They have a huge group here. I think they're up to 7 or 8 now. They will accept a patient for scheduling if there is a biopsy-proven skin cancer. So there must be already a biopsy result, otherwise the patient won't get scheduled for Mohs surgery. Here it comes into play, you know, kind of where the patient live, what are the logistics, and that may help you to decide if you want to do that biopsy or not. So if you already have a suspicion and you have the technical capabilities to send a skin biopsy, it will certainly move that process along for the patient if you can refer them for a biopsy-proven basal cell rather than for a suspicious eyelid lesions. If the patient comes to us for a questionable lesion, we would have to, worst case scenario, see them in the office for a consult. It may not have been totally clear to us that they're sent for the purpose of a biopsy. If someone sent for a lesion, it could also be that they don't like how it looks or they don't like how it feels, but it's not really concerning. And that would really not be something that we usually do same day. We would talk with the patient about risks and benefits of excision and schedule them on a different date. However, if a patient is referred because their doc was already worried that this looks like a skin cancer, we absolutely are happy to do the biopsy the same day. We just have to know that ahead of time so that we got our procedure room blocked, I got the slot blocked in my schedule, all of those things. So best case scenario, if you don't have the biopsy proven diagnosis yet, communicate ahead of time, I'm worried about this lesion, referring to you for a biopsy. So we're gonna do it the same day. It'll be back a few days later. If I also feel this looks concerning, I will already send a heads up to the Mohs schedulers and say, hey, I think this is gonna come back basal cell, let's look for a date. If it's close enough to the eyelids that we think reconstruction may affect eyelid form and function, which usually, of course, the lesions that are sent to us are, we will set up a combined date where the patient has Mohs surgery in the morning and reconstruction with one of the oculoplastic surgeons in the afternoon. And they're all done in one day, don't have to travel, don't have to walk around with a bandage for a few days. If it's set up right, it can really be a real super smooth, expedited experience for the patient. Best case scenario, outside doc already got the biopsy, says, hey, I'm sending you this basal cell. We treat all of them here with Mohs. Other places, the oculoplastics people may excise them themselves with margins. It's just different practice pattern. It's all good. And they would have the recon the same day and then return back to routine care and usually have surveillance with dermatology. If you don't have capability or technical confidence to do a biopsy, that's totally fine. Just communicate ahead of time. Hey, I'm worried about this. I'm sending them to you for a biopsy. And that way we know, and there's not going to be disappointment on the patient's because they thought they're going to come for the biopsy, but we're not set up for it. And we're rescheduling them on a different day to come back for that.
That's such a good tip just for overall patient flow and communication and best treating patients. So thanks for saying that. Really good tip. I think this is so helpful for people who aren't doing lots of eyelid lumps and bumps like we are. I hope this has been helpful for the general ophthalmologist or someone who has some lesion to remove. I feel like it always happens at the end of clinic. It's like, oh yeah, what about this little thing on my lid or something you're concerned about that the patient hasn't even noticed. So I hope this was helpful for our listeners. Dr. Wagner, you're fantastic. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom.
I greatly appreciate it. I'm going to go back and think about, in my patients, the word gross for these eyelid lesions. So certainly they make me uncomfortable at times. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom and your mnemonic and helping us be on the lookout for the ones that are more concerning. So
yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah. And again, you know, it's all fine. We don't judge anyone for not wanting to do the biopsy themselves. We love already having that result and setting it up. It's all just about communicating it to the patient and going down that decision tree of concerning, not concerning, and what does the patient want? Do they want to observe it? Do they want to have a little piece taken out? Do they say, hey, just take the whole thing, I just want it one and done? So the patient will help you to decide which way to go.
Well, thank you for sharing your expertise.
Thanks, Dr. Wagner. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for having me.
You can find all episodes of the Mayo Clinic Ophthalmology Podcast on our website.
Thank you for listening, and we definitely look forward to sharing more